Can you hear the squeaky in the background? That is Walter with his new toy from his BarkBox. Let me tell you how excited our pets get when the BarkBox arrives. Here he comes with the squeaky. All of their toys are made in the USA and all of the treats are tested on their own pets, so you know they're the best. And right now, our listeners can get a free box by going to BarkBox.com/happy. We're sure you'll be happy too. Hi, I'm Michaela, a psychotherapist.
Hi, I'm Savannah, not a psychotherapist.
Welcome to our podcast, Be You, Find Happy.
Real life conversations about life and the pursuit of happiness.
Ladies, you are going to love this episode. I know a lot of you follow at Dress Up Buttercup on Instagram like I do, but I also follow her husband, Rad Ted, who shares such incredible hashtag IG husband stories from behind the scenes of his fashionista / fashion blogger's wife's Instagram. And if you don't follow Didi, she is just so cute and so adorable, and their coupling is just so fun to watch unfold on Instagram. And it's really interesting. I know a lot of us struggle with what we post on social media and what our spouses think of that, and he really shares some guy insight to that. But he's also hilarious. He posts these stories all over the globe of guys who are trying to get that perfect photo for their wife's Instagram, and it is so funny. So I hope you like this first guy that we've had on the Be You, Find Happy podcast and find him as hilarious and hysterical as I do.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, yes, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. Well, it's neat to connect on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad it worked.
You are our first guy, like our first legit dude.
Yeah, I realized that. I was looking through all your podcasts and I was like, does she know that I'll be the first guy on? Is this okay?
Yeah.
So, I'm excited to be here.
I just, after, following your Instagram and stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, he is so funny. This would be such a breath of fresh air. Yeah, you're hysterical.
Well, I'll try to do my best to follow through on that, but it's a lot of pressure to start. We'll see what I can do.
Yeah, don't let my listeners down.
Okay, I'll do my best. We'll see, but expect nothing. That's actually easier.
Hey, that's the way to go in life, right? Just expect
I
100%
nothing. Agree. Yep, that's my motto.
That's great. Great life motto. So I wanted to start off by, could you just give like a 1 minute kind of pitch on the elevator pitch on who you are?
Yeah, I think in context of this, I think a lot of people will know me as at Dress Up Buttercup's husband. my wife is a fashion blogger and an influencer, and a lot of my life the past few years has been kind of revolved around helping her out in those space working with her in different aspects of that. I worked at Hewlett-Packard as an IT manager for years, kind of working on different things in the business side of things, the corporate world. And that's kind of how I was able to help a lot of the business aspect of things that kind of rolled into there. But most of the time, I'm just the man that hopefully doesn't get shown very often on her Instagram. I try to stay behind the scenes as much as possible and just help out wherever I can.
Wow. So at Hewlett-Packard, were you in the marketing realm or something like that?
No, actually, I was in IT.
Okay.
Yeah. I was not in the marketing realm. I mean, I had a business degree and also had an MBA. So I had an idea of the marketing realm. I actually worked on a lot of like contract negotiations with mergers and acquisitions within IT. So a lot of the business aspect of kind of the IT department.
Okay. So you help like with websites and stuff. You're like the back end guy.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, my parents always thought I could fix a printer. I have no idea how to fix one of those still, but I did what I could where I could. So yeah, definitely in that division though.
I'm actually really good at fixing printers. I just throw them out the window.
That's, I think, fair. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a brother for the longest time and we called him Brother Bitch. He was just constantly like such a moody printer all the time. Yeah. So I have to ask you, because you said this, and so my husband hates social media. He hates pictures of him. He hates taking pictures of me, the whole thing. And so you said, that you try to stay out of her
out of her pictures, but you are so incredibly supportive all the time. So how do you kind of balance, you know, having your life always on the internet?
It's a lot more than what I first expected. Right. So I think when all this started for her, she started off in the event management space. She was a wedding planner. She helped out in a venue. She always had a creative outlet. And then when she got her degree, and again, she'll blame me for this every time, I convinced her the corporate world was the way to go. She went into the oil and gas industry, and you know, if you know guys and events, it's just bring some beer, leave the flowers out of it. Let's just have a good time. Right. So nothing like she was miserable.
Right.
And she'll say lucky for her, there was an oil and gas crisis, which caused people to get let go. So, I mean, it was more like they asked her, they said, look, I mean, we're going to have to either move you somewhere else or we don't have a spot for you. She's like, I like the latter. I will gladly leave. And I was like, honey, think about it. Come on. But she couldn't do it. So I think there was a few things at that moment. I felt a little bit responsible that I threw her in this corporate world after she had such a good thing with kind of, you know, event planning.
Yeah,
because that was a creative outlet for her.
Sure.
And I think the hard part for me with her and event planning is I was working Monday through Friday and then she was working Saturday, Sunday. So it felt like we wouldn't see each other very often.
Right, right.
So I was trying to get on the same schedule with her. So then she, you know, she showed me what a fashion blog was. And she will tell you, I laughed when I first saw it. I thought like, get out of here. This can't be a thing. Like what's going on? And I was, all I was trying to do was help with her creative outlet. Right. There was plenty of times. I mean, don't make it sound like I was there, you know, cheering her on every 2 seconds. There were times where I was miserable. It's hot in Houston. That's where I live.
Mm-hmm.
There are times she asked me to take photos outside in the middle of summer heat. And I was like, honey, you have 35 seconds before I'm out. So it was just, you know, she learned she learned what times of the day I was willing to do it and for how long and you know, what that would take. So she definitely worked with me a lot to get me on board. It wasn't like I was just jumping in with both feet. But I did want to support as much as I can, wherever I could. And then something just happened, right? Like like people were interested in what she was sharing. I mean, right. Obviously I knew that she was good at fashion, but it just started to just develop into this thing where she has an audience and a following and you know, and she, I mean, I knew she was good. I just didn't think that it would actually get to this point.
You were kind of like, that's cute. We'll support
exactly.
Your little hobby and it makes you happy. So I'm along for the ride, but you didn't think it would blossom into what it is now.
I didn't. On the back end, I was like fixing up her resume, sending it out. Like I was fully prepared to just say like, honey, we tried it, you know, you gave it a shot. Like if we need to find you something that you'd be, you know, something you can work on, with the degree that you have. You know, it just ended up being this way. And I think as we got along, we learned along the way, at least I learned what she responds well to. She learned what I respond well to. And then we've kind of just worked on that. And she's made it easy for me, so to speak, right? Like it hasn't been really that difficult. So, I mean, she's brought me along easily. And then at the same time, it's just kind of, it's been a good working relationship. So
I remember seeing pictures from forever ago on her page and on your page. You guys have been married or at least together for quite a while. How long has it been?
We have. It's going to be 7 years in August.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So by celebrity standards, you're old fogies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's been great. I mean, we've dated for longer than that. I mean, obviously, and we've just kind of known each other forever. Her family knows my family from before we even started dating. It's just been, I mean, we've been best friends for a long time. They kind of flourished into a relationship and then, you know, been married 7 years and it's been great. So
you guys had this super solid foundation before she even got where she is, I think then.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a, she had this thing and I kind of just jumped on board with her with an established following, so to speak. It was a, we've been way before it. I think 3.5 years or 4 years into our marriage is when she started.
Yeah. Cause I started following, Champagne and Chanel and then Dress Up Buttercup. Yep. And this was back when I think they both probably had, you know, 6,000 or 7,000. I think they hadn't even hit 10 yet. And then in the last, I'd say 2 years, 3 years, it's just blown up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been interesting to see both of them grow. I mean, Emily, Champagne and Chanel, you know, she's had incredible growth as well. So, and their friendship has just been, it's as organic and raw as it can be. I mean, they, sometimes I get a little jealous, right? I mean, they are, they chat all the time. They're shooting the breeze. They're always hanging out. And I'm like, you know, it's good that you have a friend, but don't forget, you know, the husband over here. So.
Yeah. My husband and I think Savannah, so I do this podcast with another gal and we're often like, you know, it's interesting to see how our husbands handle the podcasting piece, especially when they're like, oh, they're in the room recording a podcast or, oh, they're doing a promo video or what, you know, there's that sensitivity, but then they're usually just in the kitchen hanging out or whatever, joking, making fun of us typically. No, they're like any conversation that we find interesting with them, they're like, it's not going on the podcast. it's not happening.
I think that's fair. With them, I mean, it's just, I think it's good for Didi to have somebody who's going through the same exact thing as she is, as far as, you know, this business. And it's a very, very off business. I mean, I say off is unusual, right? I mean, it's not your typical 9 to 5. It's very different. It's much more involved than, of course, is shown in front, or at least on Instagram. But I think she definitely values
it. So how
it.
Has your travel schedule changed? Because you go along on a lot of these adventures, right? You typically travel with her?
Every now and then. I actually try not to travel with them as much as possible because it ends up being a lot more work. So wherever I can, I mean, while I was working at HP, I was already traveling a lot because my job demanded it. So a lot of the times she used to go with me on these work trips and, you know, we used to stay at whatever hotel we're at and we used to take pictures in the afternoon and so forth. But now as this has kind of kicked off, she has been just starting to travel more. And as she was traveling more and I was working my long hours at HP, we just wanted to spend some time together. So every time she would have a trip, I would just try to see if I can take some time off or work from home or whatever the case would be, work remote and try to join her on these adventures. But yeah, every now and then I do what I can to join on those adventures.
So one of the things that I noticed is you seem to have like carved out your own identity in all of this. You know, you're such a huge support to her, and it is, a lot of the focus is on her, but you kind of have this niche with the, with the IG husbands and all of that. So is that what you've kind of done to make it more fun and creative for you?
I didn't intentionally do anything. That's what's so like interesting about this. So, I mean, I just was helping my wife out in this industry. And then along the way, I mean, back when we didn't even have any followers whatsoever, the post that you see that I typically post on stories is the same post that I've always done.
Right.
Like it's always, Didi has always done something that I'm like, this, everyone will love this, right? Like they need to know what I'm seeing right here. And I would just naturally post something of that nature, you know? And I think as the Instagram husband duties have developed, I've always tried to share my misery a little bit in some aspects, but also some of the, you know, the benefits
of
it as well.
I love your stories. They're just absolutely hilarious, especially seeing like the curated picture on Didi's page and then seeing your, like, the pain is real, like this is take 47 or whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She is so particular when it comes to, and I think a lot of them are, I don't think any of the guys that have taken photos have it easy, but it's just, yeah, she's very particular. And sometimes we'll be out there for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour. And sometimes it'll just be 30 seconds. We just don't know, you know, what type of day it is. So, but yeah, there's definitely a lot more that goes into it.
And so you're kind of always sharing this humorous behind the scenes. Is that just who you are by nature? You just tend to kind of look for the humorous stuff in life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's always been the case. I've always, I think my parents will tell you that I never tend to take things too seriously. I try not to take things too seriously. And then when they are serious, I'll take that when it comes. Right. But for as much as I can, I try to see the humor behind things. I try to have fun. And Didi is very, very, very patient with my humor, especially when she's trying to get a photo done and I'm here trying to joking around. But yeah, that's typically how I like to see things. Not everything's so serious in life, and when they are, we'll treat it as such. But you know, just taking everything with what they really are and not kind of make it over dramatic in any way.
So you guys are generally always like laughing and having fun. And I mean, of course, you know, a lot of that is probably just what you're showing on Instagram, but how do you kind of like squash the bad stuff? How do you guys like reset from fights and, or disagreements and things like that?
Yeah, I think what has helped us a lot is we have an incredible, we have a really bad memory is what I like to say. We have arguments, we have disagreements. Sometimes some will last longer than others, but I think through our, you know, working on it and our time of marriage together over the past 7 years, and by no way are we pros. It's just, I don't think you can be, but we've learned to forgive quickly. And then we've learned to apologize quickly and have learned to adjust it to understand why that may have upset either me or her in that situation. So I think being able to forgive quickly and adjust and move on is always very, very helpful. And then not keeping a record of wrong, so to speak. I think what happens typically when we first got married, at least the first year, was just we...
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. I got disconnected there for a second. Well, I was going to say, I think for the first year or the first 2 years, I think I found myself kind of keeping this long list of things that bothered me about Dee, sure. But just like not telling her at all. And then at the end of the year, she'd made me a peanut butter and jelly with more jelly than peanut butter. And that was it. Right. That was like the final, yeah. You know, nail in the coffin. So
That's it. We're getting divorced. You do exactly. This all the time. And I hate this.
Yeah. You don't know how to cook, you know, exactly. I just kind of messing everything up. So I think we've learned and adjusted and, you know, we've gone through our, you know, marriage counseling to start for the first year. Cause we knew we had these issues, but and again, they weren't grand issues, but we knew that if we want our marriage to stay in a relationship to where we feel like we're best friends all the time, how do we make that work for the long term? And what do we need to do to make it work? And it's worked great. I think there's every day I wake up and I'm just happy I'm married to my best friend, so to speak, right? I mean, it's a natural relationship that we worked on and it's doing well. She may have different thoughts when she wakes up, but that's the thought that I typically have.
We'll just not ask her.
Yeah. I actually would prefer if you don't ask her, because I don't really want to know, but it looks good so far.
My husband and I had the first proper fight in a long time. It was great. We were walking the driveway and we got to bickering about something. And then he's like, I'm not walking with you anymore. And then he turns around and then I'm like, quit squashing my passion. The whole thing, you know,
those are great. The best ones.
Yeah. Like yeah. I really felt like we needed one of those. And I kept storming off down the driveway and, you know, well then we'll just divorce then, you know, kind of thing. Then I'm walking back up and here he's coming down with the dogs.
Yeah. I think everybody needs their own little romantic moment where you guys argue and then the man always comes into play and calms everything down. And once in a while is fine.
Yeah. I feel like they're important every once in a while. Totally. Especially when you can both, I think for us, it's always just admitting our part in whatever, you know, and you don't absolutely. Have to own the whole thing, but at least some part that you were responsible for or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the biggest key is understanding that. Like I always, when we first got married, I used to tell Dee Dee, like, even if I'm stubborn by nature. Even if I know
Are
that I might
Taurus?
Be wrong, I'm not. I'm actually a Gemini.
Oh, okay.
Is that, but just I mean, when we first got married, everything, even if I knew that I was wrong, I would speak as if I was right. I would just, I'm like, you know what? I don't care if I'm wrong. I'm gonna win this argument somehow. And as we go along in marriage, it's definitely good to just, even if I'm right, let me just call it quits, you know, just like, move on ahead. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I always use the example, like the wallpaper in my room is it looks like a jungle theme with pink flowers in the background. Like, yeah, that's all right. Like, go ahead and you take the room. No problem. Let's not argue about this. Let's just move forward. So, I mean, I'll pick my battles later.
That's hysterical. Well, in a recent picture, and I couldn't help but wonder if she made you wear it, but for the announcement, because you guys are pregnant for the gender reveal, did you agree to wear that outfit or did you pick it on your own?
I will say this: if I were to choose an outfit on my own, it would be jeans or shorts and a black V-neck. That's like my uniform. So anything else you see is because Dee Dee said you need to find something else to wear for this. So, yeah. Now, granted, I mean, she wanted us to be, you know, team, you know, of course, team blue or team pink or whatever it was for the sure. gender reveal. So she found me the brightest pink shirt possible and said, "This is what you're gonna go with." And I'm like, "All right, whatever makes you happy, honey. I'll just do it and move on." So,
so you had to pick a team, or you were leaning towards a team? Because I think you were kind of leaning towards a team, right?
I was leaning towards a team, but I hate saying it because I would have just taken. I would take. You know, I'm glad that we're having a child, right? I'm not right. like a. But now that we're allowed to choose, so to speak, if we're past that first phase and now we're choosing. I did. Right. I was team pink.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So what is it about the idea of having a baby girl that you were excited about?
Yeah. And hopefully my sister won't listen to this podcast because she's going to get big headed. But I think that growing up, I think having an older sister really helped my framework of what it looks like to be, I guess, a man around women, right? Like, okay. I got to see the things that she dealt with guys. I got to see the things that bothered her. I got to see, and me and my sister were close. So I think that it was just one of those things to where I think it kind of shaped my perception and even the way that, you know, I saw things in life. And she was very strong-minded. So, I mean, I was in trouble from her more often than I was in trouble with my mom, right? It was just like, she put me in my place a lot. And I just felt like that helped a lot develop a lot of my viewpoint, growing up. And I just felt like, you know, if God willing, you know, I'm blessed with a son, so to speak. I think that I would hope that he gets raised kind of that same mentality. Right. I mean, he'll have me and Dee Dee, but we're winging it for the most part at this point. So,
right.
We're hoping that, you know, having an older sister will kind of help that, character development. And we can't guarantee it, but I just know that having an older sister really, really helped me out.
Oh, that's so special. I hope your sister does listen to this because I'm sure she'll get warm fuzzies.
she might. She might get big head and say, "See, I knew you liked me." So then, you know, we'll see what happens.
Caveat. I still don't like you that much.
Yeah, no comment. Won't say anything there.
So what do you think, you know, you've been around a lot of women lately in general.
Yeah.
So do you think you're going to be able to handle all of that estrogen and all of that?
I was telling Dee Dee, I mean, I need to watch a lot more sports to kind of like balance everything out and kind of handle everything. And granted, you know, it's been something that I'm getting used to. And it's not like in the corporate world, I can't say that the guys were much less emotional, right? I mean, guys will act like they're not emotional, but then it's a different type of way. Sure. But yeah, I think that, you know, Dee Dee's been having a great time laughing at the fact that it's just like my whole life is basically revolved around ladies now and just getting used to that. So we'll see how it goes.
I loved this one. Oh my gosh. I think it was a boomerang and you got left out of it. you're sitting there with your beer and they're like, toasting their champagne glasses. I was laughing so hard.
Oh, that happens all the time. But, you know, I don't want to be in it. It's just weird they have two cute little wine glasses, so to speak. And then here comes my manly beard and my big hands. I'm just like, all right, I'll sit out of it.
Stay out.
Yeah. The thing is, I know they don't even ask me to come in. So I'm just like, all right, let me just go ahead and sit out over here and you guys let me know. But yeah, that's okay with me.
Like, I hope, I mean, I see these kind of supportive guys and I love that you're just taking this twist on it of, you know, finding the humor in it really. Cause my husband he tolerates it, but like even pictures, he's like, you get one, you better make it good. And then I feel so much pressure to make it right. You know, and if I ask him to be in it, I mean, we could be literally going to the most gorgeous national park you've ever seen. And he's like, one picture, you better wait, make it count. I don't even ask. I've gotten really good at tripod timers.
Trying everything. Mm-hmm. I try my best. I would like it to not be in any photos whatsoever. I think that, you know, Dee Dee has found a way to get me in more of them, but I'm just, I'm like the same thing. I'm in that same mindset still. Honey, you've got like three or four shots here and then I've got to go do something else. Right. I mean, yes. I can't be in this many photos. So, and I think that's okay. I think she understands that. And plus people want to see her anyways. So it works out for everybody, so to speak.
That's really neat that you guys have found a balance on it. I know my husband and I, me being very extroverted and kind of always having, even back before we were married or even dating, my Facebook, I shared wildly and he is the opposite. He's a very private person. He doesn't, you know, like people to know his life. And so we've really, most of our big life blows have been over this balance. And so how do you guys like, do you talk about what's off limits to share? How do you kind of balance the sharing?
I think that comes with, it just comes with adjusting over time. I think at the very beginning, I was just like, I mean, I'd say your husband, so to speak, right? To where I didn't want to be in anything. I didn't want to help too much. And I think through conversations and her understanding, well, she can negotiate with me very well. She does a good job of saying, well, what if I do this? What would that work for you? And I think communication helps us a lot. And I think the fact that she'll approach me and say, look, I would like to take a photo with you. And this is the idea that I'm having. And this is where I'd like to take it. And because she knows I'm somewhat of a planner, if she gives me all the details up front, then I'm okay with it. And she knows if we go somewhere and she's like, I want a picture right here and I want to post it on her Instagram. There's a 50-50 shot. I'm just going to say no. Right. And she knows that as a 50-50 shot. If I say yes, then I'm very reluctant about it. So she knows to communicate with me beforehand. And in some ways I'm a diva in that sense. Right. Where I just want to know when it's happening and just kind of communicate with me beforehand. And I've had to learn also to kind of communicate with her why I would like to not do it, where I prefer to be behind the scenes. You know, it's not kind of my cup of tea. At least when it comes to Instagram photos, and I don't mind sharing stories all day, right? It's just a matter of, I don't know what it is about me and photos. It just feels so in the moment. And, you know, I don't know. It's just how I am, but I think communication helps a lot.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause that's kind of exactly the perspective my husband has. He just says, you know, I just want to know, like, I just want you to clear it with me before you put it up there, because I just want to know what you know what you're doing or what's going up there and that sort of thing. And that's kind of the approach that we've taken, and we still bump heads about it sometimes, you know, but. His big fear is stalkers. He's like, you know, you've already had people that are crazy and that sort of thing. How do you deal with that? Because she definitely, I'm sure it's not all females that are following her, and there's definitely weirdos in the world. How do you handle that? How do you guys manage that?
I think we take it on a case-by-case basis. We definitely do our best to hide a lot of the information that we share. At least it's very personable. Mm-hmm. Gives any idea of where we are, so to speak. But for the most part, we can't really hide it. And I think we just kind of take it one issue at a time. If we feel like there's anything that's led to a stalker, then we'll approach it when that day comes. But I think we're also very, very aware to leave things out just because of that one instance, if it were to occur. And maybe, you know, they're probably out there now, so who knows? But I think it's just, we just try to be as careful as possible. Trying to give too much information away. And sometimes when we're traveling, you know, Dee Dee may post a day later, right, like her stories and her feed and such. So they're always, whoever it is, could be like a day behind and so forth. It's hard to do that when she's traveling in groups. But those are just some of the little safety precautions we'll take when necessary. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, that's the one thing about being on Instagram, especially if you're not like on a private account or anything, is your life becomes very public. So those are some of the things that we just have to think about and adjust as, you know, stuff or incidents occur.
Yeah. I'm shocked at the amount of information that's on the internet. I actually recently had a super, super big scare with a guy who called and pretended to be a lieutenant and said that I had missed a jury duty and wanted me to meet him at the jail. And it was such an elaborate, such an elaborate scam. That's really, I think my husband was like, lock everything down. You're going off the internet, you know? And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, this is part of my journey. You know, I can't just run and hide. And But I did start bringing the dog everywhere with me
for a few days. Yeah, good idea. Do you have a big dog?
Yeah, well, he's got a big bark, and he definitely is protective. So it's an Aussie, so yeah. He's not the biggest dog, but.
Oh, that's, yeah. Well, I have a little Yorkie, oh. So my dog would not help at all. Didi's style, so to speak, right? So, I mean, my dog's for show, and he doesn't really do much. But, I mean, we could give it a shot.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my gosh, yeah. I often wonder about the little Yorkies and stuff, but
yeah, they're not helpful.
But the reality is, he probably likes you the best and cuddles with you and sleeps on your face and.
yep. And Didi is super jealous of that, but you know, I mean, I'm the one who takes him out all the time, so you can see why he likes me, so to speak. But yeah, she tries her best to cuddle with him, but he's just not having it.
So you mentioned that you guys travel a lot. So what's your favorite place? I noticed that you've been all over. You guys have done a lot of different things. What's your favorite place that you've been?
So I think there's two places that I've really liked, and the whole traveling thing, that's like always been Dee Dee's adventure, right? I mean, growing up, I didn't travel as much, but her mom was a flight attendant, so she's been everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of, she's always had the travel bug. So when we got married, she had to convince me that it's a lot cooler than how I've experienced it.
Which was like the 900-mile road trip with your siblings or something.
Yep, yep. I mean, everything, and with us, everything was kind of planned out and where we're going. We had to think about things and plan things. But with her mom was a flight attendant. Whatever flight was open,
they hopped on and left.
And they just, and they figured out as they went. So a lot of anxiety when we first got married. But we went on a lot of different adventures. I think the two that stuck out to me, I liked went to a small island off of the coast of Belize. It took a small ferry there. It was crowded with like maybe 200 people. I felt like the boat was going to sink. And we finally got to our place on the other side. I mean, there was like a really nice area. You rode your bikes everywhere. A lot of different, you know, cultural foods were there. It was fantastic. But yeah, I really liked that trip. Another one was Thailand. It's a little island there called Phi Phi mm-hmm. Islands. And that was something right out of a movie. I mean, it was incredible to see. But yeah, those two places. And we were able to go there because I was flying a lot out to South Korea for work. And so for one of the trips, Didi came out and I just said, hey, let's take a flight to Thailand. Thinking it was close. It was still a 9-hour flight.
So Thailand is still my favorite place I've ever been.
Yeah, I love it there.
The people, the culture, the food, the water.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is incredible. And the funniest thing we were looking for, so Didi's sister had gone before and she was like, oh, you can do the whole trip for like $100. And then we noticed that there was like this 5-star hotel, and I think it was like $65. It was like the best hotel in Thailand. And I was like, yeah, Didi, we're booking this. And like, so for like 5 nights, whatever it was like $300. And her sister was living. She's like, how do you spend more than $300 in Thailand? Like, are you guys kidding me? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to do it here. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? I got treated like a king. That doesn't happen here.
I was shocked by that too. Our hotel each, it wasn't even like a, it was like a mini like house with its own pool and everything. And all of the rooms were like that. It was incredible with all this fresh fruit every day. And amazing. Yeah.
It's awesome.
I totally want, I always say I'm never going to any place a second time until I've been every place once, but I would totally go back to Thailand.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
My parents went to Belize and almost sunk on their boat too. So it must just be a thing.
I think so. The funny thing is when like me and Didi were, the ferry was about to leave, like, oh no, we can still fix you guys.
No,
and I'm like,
can't.
No, you guys can't. And we literally were sitting in that, like just standing in the middle of the boat while it was completely packed. And I'm like, oh goodness, this is going down, honey. This is how we end it. But it made it there. So
that's a hysterical story. What is your, I mean, a lot of times you capture people like, you know, mostly guys, men who are trying to capture the perfect picture for their spouse or whatever. What's your most hysterical story?
I mean, at least when it comes to that, we went to London this past year and we've been a few times, but Didi this time did her research on like the Instagram spots. And I could not tell you the amount of couples with the ladies sitting up on the wall and the husbands trying to get photos going. And it was a highlight reel. I was like, that trip I probably storied like way too many times, but I mean, all these guys, they just looked miserable. All the girls were like, just one more shot. I'm like, come on, this is my life in a nutshell. They're experiencing it just today.
Right. Like,
but it's incredible to see like how often that occurs.
Oh yeah.
Where there's just all these couples going out, and I thought it was just me, but yeah, it seems to be definitely a thing.
We've been hard pressed to find, because the same way my husband doesn't really like social media. He does okay in a touristy spot for like about an hour. And then, so our trips are often to these remote wildernessy places, and I'll get to pick like one tourist attraction, you know, and touristy picture, and that's it. So it's been harder and harder because of Instagram to kind of like escape, you know. We used to stay at BLM land outside of national parks and stuff, and there was nobody. But now with like the hashtag van life, it's like all these van life people are on the BLM land, and we're like, what the heck is going on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's all the pros and cons about social media, right? I mean, the good thing is, like, finally these places that deserved more value are finally getting it. But then it becomes crowded, which is kind of good. Gave it the value. But I mean, it's definitely a trend. It is crazy. It is a
crazy thing to see. And so this is the world that your daughter is going to be growing up in. And I know even for my son, you know, the other day he had my phone and he's like, what's up, Sharer family, blah, blah, like doing his own selfie video. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's getting this from me. Like, how are you going to manage that? How are you going to manage?
I don't have a clue yet. And I think that's what, I mean, everything keeps changing. Right. Like, I don't know what's going to happen in 5 years, you know? And when I was growing up, I didn't get a cell phone until I was in high school. And that was for like safety purposes. And all you could do was dial
911,
dial a number. But now there's kids out there that have cell phone numbers, and it's common. And then for me, I don't have kids, so I didn't know it was a common thing. So I've just been shocked by it all. But, you know, I don't know how we're going to adjust. I know that we're going to try to do the best we can to, I won't say keep her off, but, you know, kind of keep her involved in what's happening in real life circumstances and not get so caught up in social media and everything else that kind of, you know, will keep her away from the now, so to speak. And again, I guess my motto is one day at a time. I mean, me and Didi, we're reading baby books, and I feel like, honey, we're just going to do our best. I don't know what's going to happen.
You guys are going to be great parents.
I figure we'll just figure it out as we go along. And, you know, my mom said this to me once. She's like, look, I messed up on you guys plenty of times and you turned out okay. I'm like, well, I guess that's helpful. So we'll see how it goes. It allows me some leave room.
Well, it's been neat too to see just kind of the pregnancy journey unfolding too, and even the behind the scenes where you're like, this is Didi's third lunch today.
So that's been a great part of it. Her appetite now is fantastic. I'm loving
it. It'll be really neat too to see, you know, kind of your guys's parenting style unfold. It must be so weird for you to have such a public watch on what you guys are doing, but.
Well, we're experiencing it now a little bit. I mean, the second that she announced her pregnancy, we're getting a lot more eyes and comments on how to be, you know, pregnant the correct way.
Like, right. Huh?
So I think it's definitely a new world we're jumping into. So there's a lot of good, a lot of bad, but you know, we're just taking it one day at a time.
I think that if you want to start like any kind of social media war, talk about like immunizations or, you know, oh my
god, hot topics.
It's unbelievable. Actually, our episode on mom guilt is one of our most played episodes. It's definitely a hot topic.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe the amount of DMs that Didi gets, and a lot of them are great, but a lot of them you're like, what?
Right,
what,
like, how dare you wear that dress when you're pregnant?
Exactly. Yeah, something totally out of the blue, and we're thinking, huh? And we ask somebody else, like, they're confused as well. So I'm saying, oh, I don't know. So there's definitely a lot of takes and a lot of opinions, and I think 10 years ago, your opinions came from those around you. Now it's coming from a vast, you know, array of people.
Yeah, people who feel probably a little more entitled because they are kind of in that veil of anonymity behind the shield of the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've always said this at work. While I was working at HP, people are much more brave behind the screen. You talk to them in person, they won't say half the things they'll say in email, and now even over a direct message, and even when they can use a fake handle, and you know, it's just it's incredible. But you know, we understand that comes with the territory, right? I mean, we know that we can't you know, we can't stop it, but at the same time, we understand that in this the same realm. With the negative comes all the good. We have a lot of great people that are very, very positive and very encouraging and supportive. And that's always, we can't just say, oh, we got, you know, one bad thing. There goes our life. But at the same time, we know that there's a huge audience that really like loves to be involved in what's happening in our lives, and that they, we've given plenty of DMs where they feel like they know us and they want to be, they wish they could meet us.
Yeah.
Or I would say us, meet Didi.
No,
right?
But so you guys think, you seem like a great couple to hang out with. You do.
Yeah. So I think in it comes with the whole territory. We know there's going to be bad, and we're actually very, very, very thankful for the good. So, you know, we just take it as it comes.
And that's probably awesome that, like you said, Emily and Didi have each other, and then Didi has you as well. And Emily has her boyfriend. And so you guys have those kind of people that you can, you know, decompress with or vent to about things that have come up, and you're communicating with somebody who understands because they're living it too, which is, that's neat. That's special.
Yeah. And I think it's very helpful for her, because I think when she first started, I was no help when it comes to her, like, venting at all when it comes in this world, at least. I had no clue what's going on half the time. Yeah. I'd come home from work, and then, you know, she's talking about stuff, and I'm like, huh, it's just a photo, relax. But, you know, knowing that it's much more behind the scenes, that she has a friend to talk to, at least, you know, to talk about the social media world and the fashion blogging industry and how would you, you know, they handle this situation. And it's been very helpful for her.
Yeah. My husband and I work together at the industry I married into with him, which is a family business that he had. And so we definitely have that whole kind of piece together, which is good and bad, right? Working together, we've had to find a solid balance, but then it's nice that we can support each other. And I do understand what he's talking about when he's expressing different things that are going on. But when it comes to the podcasting and writing books and stuff, he's, you know, he tries, he really does, but he's like, okay, babe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I get it. And now this has become more of my world. I think that it's, you know, Didi and I talk about it all the time, and we have to find moments where we need to both unplug.
Yeah.
And kind of get away with it all and try to find, you know, what hours of the day we're not going to have phones. So we're big advocates of not having phones over dinner and hanging out, and we try to go on walks together. We put our phones away. So as much as we can, we do our best to unplug, but at the same time, it can absolutely take over.
I think so, what
it's just trying to send
what you're talking about is so many couples deal with. Everything you've mentioned today, really, couples are dealing with, even if it's not, they're not Instagram influencers, still just social media in general and the sharing and having that kind of disconnect from the phone and having time together. I mean, those are all definitely things that I think a lot of couples are trying to figure out, really.
Yep. Yeah. And it comes with, I mean, we weren't pros at this at all. And I think we're still not. And, you know, Didi will tell you, I have got a long way to go, because sometimes I can get so engulfed into everything that I'm doing on my phone that I completely can neglect that my wife is sitting right next to me. But I think that when she, you know, communicates to me that she would like me to work better on it, and, you know, we try to do our best to agree on what makes sense for both of us and what's a good schedule, and to completely at least go cold turkey. And I think for a long time we had put our phones away from our bed, but then we realized we wouldn't set our alarms, and then we couldn't do anything right without our phones. So, you know, we try to find a good balance, and, you know, not being on our phones too long while we're sitting in bed, and being that couple, we're trying to find ways that we can spend more time together. And especially once the baby girl comes, it's going to be a whole nother world. So we're going to do our best to try to make things work and balance everything out.
Oh, yeah. We do this fun thing when we go out to eat where we put our phones away. Actually, we have a thing with our friends with whoever pulls out their phone first pays. But as a couple, what we do is we put our phones away, and then we play this game, like how long have they been married, or what's their status. And it's interesting how many people are sitting there on their phones. And it's like, well, why don't you just go through the drive-thru then? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and that's actually a good game. I think, like, when we go out, we typically try to do something that requires using our hands to eat. So crawfish is always one. Barbecue is another one. So you got no choice, right? I mean, you're stuck there. But then we just you know, we smell the rest of the day, but outside of that, it's all good.
I was laughing when you were talking about attire, because when my husband and I first started dating, this was a long time ago, like 10 years ago, and he showed up to my apartment and he was wearing like camo sweatpants. And I was like, what the hell have you got on? You know, like, I was like, this is, I was living in San Diego and I was like, no, you need some Adidas workout pants. You know, like, I was being all that. Yeah. And then what's funny is he continued to rock them just to be stubborn. And then camo totally came in and it's all the rage. And he's like, see, you were messing up my game. I had it. Like, I'm like, yeah, just like, you know, 5 or 6 years prior to the trend. But hey, it was all you.
Yeah, he was ahead of the curve. He knew it. What's he wearing now? So we can stay out of it. That's kind of nice.
But it's cute because he'll come out of the closet and he'll be like, does this go with this? You know, like, does this top match these pants or these shorts? And I'm like, yeah, you know, you be you kind of thing. But and our son has like incredible style. Like, he just always rocks it on the style front. But then some days he'll come out, like just yesterday he's wearing, or 2 days ago, he was wearing red shorts, neon orange shirt, and neon green socks. And I was like, oh my
God. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. You know? And I said, is that what you want to do? You want to do that shirt with those shorts, you know, kind of thing. And he's like, yep. And I'm like, okay, you be you, you know? And then what was hysterical is we got to school and he got out of the car and this other mom goes, nice outfit, buddy. And I'm like, well, there it is. It's bringing smiles to people's day, you know?
Yeah. Now he's going to wear it again. He heard one compliment. There he goes.
He's going to be wearing that all the time. Yeah. It's fun when they're like infants and you get to dress them up, but then they start deciding. You know?
Yeah. Dee Dee's already got clothes lined up for ours. I'm like, honey, like, she's got 1 year outfits. Like, it's a long time.
I bet. Yeah. But it's interesting how fashion's become such a part of your life. I know you've got to go. Yeah. We've just a few minutes left, but can you tell me a little bit about trend management and what you guys are doing with that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it all kind of started, when Dee Dee's, you know, growth started to get a lot bigger, so to speak. And we started to get a lot more brand deals and people reaching out. I started helping her with, you know, understanding what the contracts look like, what our deliverables are, kind of all the different things that Dee Dee doesn't really care about, because all she cares about is fashion, but now there's some monetary value behind it. How do we make that all work? So I was working with her on a lot of those different things. And finally she signed on with a management company, and I was hoping that's great. She'll have her thing now. She has a manager that can handle all these different aspects of her blog. And then I can now focus 100% on my career and let's get things moving. And it ended up being, you know, me managing her manager.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So then I was just like, we got to find a way out of this. She was not happy with it at all. We ended up, you know, working through it. It was kind of difficult. We worked our way out of the contract with them. And, you know, I started helping her again. And then, Emily, I was having kind of the same complaints. Right. And so, you know, we kind of were sitting at a dinner and, trying to find a solution. And we were just talking about the fact that I was doing this for a long time. And if Emily needed some help, I could help her too. So I started helping Emily out. And then it just kind of to roll into
blossomed into this. Yeah.
So then from that, you know, ended up getting a few more. And then I realized that there's no way I could have managed my, you know, the demanding job at Hewlett Packard and also do this at the same time. So just made the jump over. And it's been good. It's been about 6 months since January 7th, when we officially launched as a business, so to speak. And then we kind of just announced it this past weekend on a company trip. And it's been picking up fast. And I just want to be a way to help these influencers in this industry that's turned more than just styling fashion, but it's become a full blown business. They're getting contracts and deals, and how do they decline things, and what does that look like? And, you know, how do they stay true to who they are without, you know, taking on too much? And there's a lot of different aspects of it that that they don't need to worry about, and they can focus more about
producing, you know, good quality content and doing what they love and staying true to themselves.
And then they can let me handle all the invoicing and everything else and tracking down everything, and, you know, seeing what works for the brand and them. And you know, all the nitty gritty details that they didn't really sign up for, but it's
comes with the territory, it's kind of gone through
it. And they're very thankful of it. And they're not, you know, upset about it, but at the same time, it's something that they definitely needed help with and, you know, just wanted to kind of fill in.
Yeah. I'm a psychotherapist and I absolutely hate dealing with like the insurance companies and just all of that. It's just not my forte, you know, it's not what I don't want to chase down insurance payments and billing and all that. So I totally get that. So you guys do, do primarily fashion influencers then, or are you guys open? Are you doing more than that?
I think for now we're focused primarily in the fashion influencer industries. I think we've been approached by some people that are kind of out of that scope. And so we're kind of talking internally to see what we should do as far as bringing on a different type of niche market. And then how would that look like? And also working with brands on influencer marketing as well. Sure. So a lot of brands need help on this new industry. They've been used
traditional
to promoting
ads,
things on. Yeah. Yeah. Wherever it may be. And they're realizing that a lot of this marketing is happening online and through social media. And so it's something that, you know, we're trying to see how it looks like to provide services across the whole realm of influencer marketing.
Well, hopefully we'll see a TED line soon with black V-necks and
I told Didi, yeah, I mean, I was like, if I were ever to launch a line, it'd just be a bunch of different black V-necks. That's all it would be.
I think you need to do it.
We'll just go in. Yeah. I would gladly love that. As long as they don't put anything else in the line, I'm good with it. I can wear it all day.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, it's been so great talking with you, and I really appreciate it. And I'll circle back with you on email and stuff to kind of work out the details for the launch of the podcast. But so awesome talking to you. Okay. And I really think you guys need to do a couples podcast. You guys will be hysterical. You need to branch into that industry.
Yeah, maybe. I don't want to get Didi any ideas, so we'll try
we'll
to
just keep that between you and me and everyone else listening to this podcast.
All right, sounds good. Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate
it. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
All right, have a good one. Bye-bye.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out our links.
Whoa, is that?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.